I want to generalize just a little from the episode with which we've been concerned, and then bring the lecture to a close. I've spoken of the Buddha wanting to make quite sure that Mahaprajapati wanted to go forth for purely spiritual reasons. But it's not just a question of Mahaprajapati. It's not just a question of women. It's a question of all who want to go forth, all who want to go for refuge, all who want to be ordained. It's important that one should want to do the right thing for the right reason. Indeed, in the sphere of spiritual life, the right thing is not the right thing unless one does it for the right reason. In principle, the 8 important rules represent all those factors that prevent us from going forth until we are really ready to do so. To begin with, of course, we may experience them. We may experience those factors, those obstructions, not as a wreath of blue lotus, but indeed as a crown of thorns. We may feel very ill-used, very hard done by. We may go around the centre or the community wearing a sort of martyred look, not to say crucified look. We may even feel angry and resentful that we're not being ordained. But a time comes when one no longer experiences the crown of thorns as a crown of thorns. You experience it as a wreath or blue lotus. You accept that you are not ready for ordination. And then, paradoxically, you find, or it is found, that you are ready for ordination. And some of you, I know, have actually had this experience. But at this point, a question may arise. Must our desire for ordination literally be perfectly pure before we can be ordained? In the case of Mahaprajapati, this seems to have been what the Buddha insisted upon, perfect purity of motive, at least with regard to the eruption of feminism into the order, at least with regard to what Blake called the female will. In modern times, when life is so much more complicated than it was in the Buddha's day, one might say that we cannot expect the desire for ordination to be always perfectly pure. But at the same time, in a sense, one can expect it to be so, can expect it to be perfectly pure. In the sense that we must be prepared to put as much of our energies as we possibly can into the task of spiritual self-development, into the going for refuge. And we must want to put all our energies into it. And not only that, must be prepared to take active steps to put all our energies into it eventually. If we can do that, then we are ready to go forth, ready for ordination, ready to go for refuge. One thing, however, we must remember. So far as most people are concerned, the going for refuge is an effective going for refuge. It's not a real going for refuge, not to begin with. And this means that inasmuch as it's only an effective going for refuge, we can fall away from it. So therefore, it's not only necessary to make sure that our desire for ordination is pure. It's necessary to make sure that we keep it pure. It's necessary to make sure that after ordination, our motive for being in the order remains pure. And this we shall do by remaining aware and mindful, by remaining emotionally positive, by living and working under conditions which are conducive to our spiritual development, by keeping in close touch with our spiritual friends, and by coming together repeatedly and in large numbers. Otherwise, we may fall by the wayside, as Devadatta did. You may remember what the Buddha said of Devadatta. He said of him that he was doomed to a state of woe on account of his being overcome and his mind obsessed by three evil conditions. That is to say, because he had evil desires, because he had evil friends, and because he turned aside from the path and came to a standstill by the attainment of the lesser powers. Perhaps one day I shall give a lecture on the Devadatta episode in the Buddha's life. But meanwhile, this lecture is drawing to an end. Just one more point before I close. The 8 important rules made sure that Mahaprajapati's going forth was sincere. They made sure that she really wanted to go for refuge. They made sure that her motivation was not social, but spiritual. But going for refuge, as we know, is an ongoing process. It's not something that we do once and for all. Consequently, we need something that is, in principle, like the 8 important rules, all the time. We need something that will make sure that our going for refuge really is an ongoing process, a process which is deepening all the time. So where can we find this something? Well, it isn't really so difficult to find. We can find this something in the positive, critical feedback of our spiritual friends. We can find it in what has been called fierce friendship. If we're to continue to develop spiritually, if we're to continue deepening our going for refuge, our commitment to the spiritual life, then we will need genuine criticism. Not that I'm suggesting that we shall need nothing but criticism. That can be counterproductive. We shall also need encouragement and appreciation. We shall need inspiration. But we shall certainly, upon occasion, need criticism too. We shall need criticism that comes from the heart. Criticism that is based on positive emotion, on metta. Criticism that is totally disinterested, which is concerned only with our welfare, only with our growth, only with our development. And when we get that criticism, when we're given that criticism, well, how shall we receive it? Hopefully, we'll receive it in the same spirit that Mahaprajapati received from the Buddha, the 8 important rules. Not as a crown of thorns, scratching and uncomfortable, but as a wreath of blue lotus, resting beautifully on the top of our head.